Welcome to Witness, a ministry of Covenant Presbyterian Church in Jackson, Mississippi. Join us in person for worship each Sunday at 9:30 and 11 a.m. For more information about Covenant, including discipleship and mission opportunities, visit us at www.covenantpresjackson.org.
God is not a myth. God is not a concept. God is not an idea. God is not a philosophical category. God is not simply the highest aspiration of human thought, nor is he an unimaginative excuse for outdated morality. God is personal. God is relational. God lives. God acts, and he has a name. God revealed his name long before he spoke these words from Mount Sinai. He revealed his name long before he freed his people from slavery in Egypt. Listen to God's word to Moses, speaking to him through a burning bush. This is found in Exodus chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you." God also said to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations." The name of God is the Lord. Lord, in all capital letters. This is his name forever. His name means I am who I am, or I will be who I will be. The Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one who revealed himself and his name to Moses, the one who saved his people from slavery in Egypt, the giver of the law, the giver of the Ten Commandments, also took on the name Jesus, revealed himself in Jesus, revealed his heart in Jesus. Jesus is Lord. He is personal. He is relational. He lives. He acts. And he has a name. In this commandment, the third commandment, God does not want his name used in vain. He does not want it lifted up in a way that makes it empty or worthless. He does not want it lifted up casually, carelessly, flippantly. He does not want it used as an exclamation. He does not want it used as a curse. He does not want it to be the focus of empty religious talk. The reason, which we looked at last week, is the scriptural understanding of a name. The Bible has a completely different understanding of the significance of names than we do. For us, a name is merely a label. It's simply what you call something. But in the Bible, the name is more than a label. A name points to the identity of the one who bears the name. A name points to the essence of the one who bears the name. A name is representative of the one who bears the name. God's name is his identity. The Lord means I am who I am. The Lord's name refers to his self-existence. He is life. He is being. He is existence. The Lord's name refers to his sovereignty. He has all authority and power. He created all things. He upholds all things. The Lord's name points to his identity as Savior. He redeemed his people from bondage. He redeemed them from slavery. Not only is God's name his identity, God's name also represents him. The name is a part that represents the whole. We mentioned last week that we use this in our own speech. If I say, hey, there are a lot of faces I didn't recognize today, you know that I'm not talking about disembodied faces floating in the air, but whole people. A face is the part that represents the whole. And the same is true with God's name. When his name is lifted up, when his name is spoken, when his name is uttered, when his name is used, it represents him. And so God does not want his name used in vain. Again, he does not want his name lifted up so that it is empty or worthless. But God does want his name used. He just doesn't want it misused. And how God wants his name used is seen in our New Testament reading from Matthew. The words of Jesus, teaching his disciples, teaching his followers, teaching you how to pray. What to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. God wants his name to be hallowed. Now, hallow is a term we just don't use much anymore. It's a term that sounds archaic. And besides Halloween, this prayer is the only place where we regularly use it. But the word has stuck in the translation of the Lord's Prayer. And it stuck because it's hard to find another word that better fits what Jesus is saying, that better fits what Jesus is praying. Because hallow means to consecrate, to set apart for a sacred purpose. In other words, hallow means to make holy. And that is what holy is. That's what holy means, set apart, separate, distinct, different. God wants his name consecrated. He wants his name set apart. He wants his name made holy because God is holy. Because God is set apart. Because there is none other like him. He is life. He is existence. He is being. He is the creator. He is the sustainer. He is the savior. He is Jesus. He is Lord. And we hallow the name of the Lord when we set it apart for worship. We make the Lord's name holy when we set it apart for worship. So what Jesus is saying, what the third commandment indirectly says is this: we are to worship the name of the Lord. We are to bless the name of the Lord. We are to lift up in adoration the name of Jesus. And there's no better place to see this in action than the Psalms. The Psalms are the prayer book of the Bible. They are the God-breathed prayers of God's people. They are the God-inspired prayers of God's people. They are prayers that have been prayed for thousands of years, for millennia. The Psalms teach prayer. The Psalms serve as a school for prayer. If you want to learn to pray, if you want to be taught by the Lord himself to pray, then you've got to look to the Lord's Prayer and to the Psalms. The Psalms teach that part of a complete diet of prayer is praise. Part of prayer is adoration. Part of prayer is the hallowing of God's name. Often the Psalms will do so through blessing the name of the Lord. When we bless God or bless the name of God, we've learned that's the same thing, right? We are setting his name apart. We are making it holy. We are hallowing. We are worshiping. Now listen to just a few examples from the Psalms. This is from Psalm 72. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Now, of course, language of praise other than blessing is used in the Psalms as well. And here's a few examples. This is from Psalm 7. I will give to the Lord the thanks due to his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord the Most High. Psalm 34. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. God wants us to bless his name, to praise his name, to exalt his name, to give glory to his name, to hallow his name. In fact, that's why we were created. In fact, that's why you were created. It's what you were created to do. The Bible teaches that human beings, men and women, you and I, were created to worship, to give God the affection of our hearts, to be in relationship with God, to know him and to glorify him. You see, the third commandment points to the reason for our existence. The third commandment, just like the two before it, is a commandment of worship. But the truth is, we fail. We fail to obey this command. We fail at what we were created for. We fail at what we were created to do. We fail to worship. We fail to give God the affection of our heart. We fail to serve him. We fail to hallow his name. The truth is, we take God's name in vain, use it casually, carelessly, lift it up so that it is empty, worthless. We sin. And this comes from the heart. Our words come from the heart. Our words reveal our hearts. And many of us, if we are truly honest, honest to God, honest, will admit that our hearts are more full of ourselves rather than God, are focused on ourselves rather than the Lord. And therefore, we would much rather have our name be lifted up and praised than God. We would much rather have our name set apart than God's. We break the third commandment, and the Lord will not hold us guiltless. But the good news is that the Lord has not left us here. The Lord has not left us in our sin. The Lord has not left us in our guilt. The Lord has not left us under his judgment. He has come to us in person, sought us out. And all we have to do is call on the name of the one who was crucified and rose from the dead, the name of Jesus. All we have to do is call on the name and ask for forgiveness. Call on the name to be cleansed from your sin. Call on the name so that your sin-filled, broken, self-seeking, self-focused heart can be removed. And you can receive a new heart, a heart full of him, a heart that worships, a heart that blesses, a heart that praises, a heart that glorifies, a heart that hallows. We are praying this when we pray the Lord's Prayer. You are praying this when you pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now notice, that this petition of prayer is passive. It's not active. Jesus does not teach us to pray, "Our Father in heaven, we hallow your name." That's the active tense. It is, "Hallowed be your name," or "May your name be hallowed." The passive shows that our prayer is that God's name be made holy, that God's name be set apart, that God's name be blessed, that God's name be glorified. In this prayer, we are asking God to do it because we can't. We can't do it by ourselves. We can't do it on our own. The Lord's Prayer shows we want it. We know God wants it. But our sinfulness, our sinful hearts prevent us from doing it wholly and completely. The Lord's Prayer shows that we need help in order to do it. We need Jesus. Only through Jesus can we receive hearts that bless God's name, the name that we are to hallow, the name by which we are saved. That name is also the name we bear. It's the name we carry. When you follow Jesus, when you give your life to Jesus, when you come to faith in Jesus, when you receive salvation in the name of Jesus through what he has done for you in his death and resurrection, you belong to him. You're no longer your own. You're no longer a slave to the passions and desires of your heart. You're no longer a slave to sin. You belong to him. And you're free. You're free. True freedom is found only in Jesus. And in your freedom, you bear his name. You bear the name of the one to whom you belong. You bear the name of the Lord. But when you receive the sign of the covenant of Jesus Christ, when you receive the sign of your cleansing of sin, this water washing of baptism, when you receive that sign, whether you were an infant, whether you were a teen, whether you were an adult, you're baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Through the water of baptism, God places his name upon you. Through the water of baptism, God claims you by his name. Claims you by his name. Do you see what this means? Do you realize what this means? It means you carry the name with you. You bear the name of the Lord with you wherever you go, whatever you do, which means your life is a witness to the name. Your life represents the Lord. Therefore, the name of Jesus is associated with everything that you do, everything that you say, everything that you think, everywhere that you go. Honor the name. Honor the name of the one who created you, the name of the one who saved you, the name of the one who claims you, the name of the one you bear. Glorify his name. Live out the third commandment. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for tuning in to Witness, a ministry of Covenant Presbyterian Church in Jackson, Mississippi.